All right, 2 Kings chapter 23, verse 25. And like unto him was there no king before him that turned to the Lord with all his heart, and with all his soul, and with all his might, according to all the law of Moses. Neither after him arose there any like him. And then look at 2 Chronicles 34, verse 2. Verse 1. 2 Chronicles 34, verse 1. Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned in Jerusalem 130 years. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in the ways of David his father, and inclined and declined neither to the right nor to the left. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for what we'll see here in Scripture this evening. I thank you for how you've used it in my heart and in my mind, and I pray that you'll use it tonight in the minds of all the hearers and anybody else that hears this message, whether it's maybe on the internet or in a CD or something. Pray that you'll use this message to glorify yourself and to draw people to you, to turn especially young people to seeking after you. Help me to preach tonight, I pray. Help us to hear and to learn so that we will know what to do and to obey. Please give me the utterance that I need and the wisdom. We pray it in Jesus' name, and thank you. Amen. 2 Kings 23:25, and read that again. And like unto him was there no king before him that turned to the Lord with all his heart, and with all his soul, and with all his might. Does that sound like something we might run into in the New Testament somewhere? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, right? It's the first commandment. And like unto him was there no king before him that turned to the Lord with all his heart, and with all his soul, and with all his might. He put everything into this. He worked at this. He put himself into it with his strength, according to all the law of Moses. Neither after him arose there any like him. And 2 Chronicles 34, verse 1, Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned in Jerusalem 130 years. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in the ways of David his father, and declined neither to the right hand nor to the left. That's what the Lord God said about Josiah after Josiah died. You talk about a funeral message. That's the epitaph on the life of Josiah. He did right in the sight of the Lord. Now, we're not reading all about Josiah tonight. I hope you'll do that this week. He did right in the sight of the Lord. Josiah had great influences in his life. He had men like Hilkiah and Shaphan, and a woman named Huldah, the prophetess. They influenced him, but he didn't just do right in their sight. It wasn't just when they were looking. He did right in the sight of the Lord. He did not decline away from doing the will of God according to God's word. He walked like David, his father. Now, David was not just a generation ahead of him, but in the Bible, your grandfather, your great-grandfather, they could all be called your father. We know he was several generations removed from David, and yet David was the standard in the kingdom of Israel for following God. And he did right like David did. What would this mean? He walked in the ways of David. How did David walk? David walked a life of praising God, didn't he? David walked a life of worshiping the Lord. David was a man who walked with courage, serving God. David was a man who walked with humility, being humble before the Word of God. Even after he had sinned and the preacher faced him with his sin, he humbled himself and said, I have sinned. And he wrote out a psalm confessing his sin for the whole nation to know that he was sorry. But for God to know that he was sorry, against thee, thee only have I sinned. Humble before the Word of God. David had a life whereby he walked in the service of the Lord. He served God. David lived a life and had a walk where he influenced other people to thinking God's thoughts and going God's way. Josiah walked like David. Josiah did all of that. after he died, it is said, he sought after God. He turned to the Lord with all his heart, all his soul, all his might. There was no other king like him, before him or after him. He did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. But how was it that this came to be? You think maybe he was just born into a life where it was really easy to serve God. He was born into a time when it was popular to serve God. Everybody was doing it, so it wasn't that difficult because really you could be cool and you could fit in and serve God too. No, it wasn't like that at all, actually. Actually, the home he was born into was a wicked home. His father, Amon, was an idolater who trespassed more and more, the scriptures said. A wicked and vile king. Josiah was a real person, a real young man. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his ways? The Bible says, cleanse his way. David Malinak said, when God says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? God's showing the worst case scenario. The hardest thing in the world to clean up is a young man. That's right. And God says, a young man can cleanse his way by taking heed to the word of God. And if God, what God's doing is saying, I can deal with the worst cases, even young men. And if I can clean up the worst case, the most difficult case, if I can get out the deepest stain, then I can take care of everybody else too. He was a young man, Josiah was. He had real struggles. Don't think that Josiah just had, he was born with some type of halo around his head, never was tempted, never struggled with anything, and it all just came naturally to him to serve God. It didn't. He had real struggles. He had real temptations. And he was king. He had authority to do whatever he wanted to do, whenever he wanted to do it, with whoever he wanted to do it with. That's right, anything. He was in charge of a kingdom. Those kings ruled, friends, like gods. And yet he did right in the sight of the Lord. Real struggles, real temptations came from a wicked father. How was it that he did right, and at the end of his life, and after he was buried, God Almighty said he did right. And there's no king like him before or after. Look at verse 3 here in 2 Chronicles 34. You see the word for? He did that which was right. For in the 8th year of his reign, look at this phrase, while he was yet young. While he was yet young, what? He began to seek after the God of David, his father. You young people see that? While he was yet young. Everybody say it out loud. While he was yet young, what did he do? He began to seek after God. Say that out loud, please. He began to seek after God. How old was he when he began to seek after God? He began to reign at the age of 8, right? And in the 8th year of his reign. So, 8, he's 8 years old. 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. We don't know exactly when his birthday was. He could have been 15 or 16. He was 15 or 16 when he began to seek after God. Now, as you read all of this next week, you'll see that he sought after God along with some preachers and some priests with him, but he personally began to seek after God. You personally have to seek after God. It's not enough to say, I'm in a church where we seek after God, so I'm good. We got preachers that seek after God. My parents seek after God. You have to seek after God. And if you'll seek Him, He will be found of you. And seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Because if you play games with us, you may want to seek Him someday and not find Him. It's a warning many times in Scriptures. People don't like that today. People have the idea today, you can get saved any old time you feel like it, but you really don't find that in the Bible. Whosoever will does not mean whensoever. You better seek the Lord while He's near. If God's convicting your heart to be saved, you better get saved. And if you're saved, you better start seeking God continually. You don't say, well, I'm saved, I'm all set, I'm in a good home, in a good church, I'm good. You need to personally seek after God. He did right in God's sight, not just when the priests and the preachers were around. God's always around. He did right in the sight of God. Why, when we are tempted, do we look this way and that to see who's around? God's right here. If you're saved, He's right inside you. He's with you. He's all around. Underneath are the everlasting arms. You might as well just look and see what He thinks about what you're about to do. Seek after God. This passage tells me that if you're 15 or 16 years old, you know what you are in the sight of God? You are young. Everybody say that out loud. Young. If you're 15 or 16, you're young. But I got a driver's license. You're young. But I got a job. You're young. Amen. But I'm really developing physically and mentally. You're young. I'm glad you're 15. Glad you're 16. I'm glad that you are developing. I'm glad that you're getting some responsibility and some character. I'm happy that you've earned a driver's license. I'm glad you've got a job. That's great. But don't you start thinking, well, I don't need anyone telling me anything. I can do what I want. I can think what I want. I'm a big person. I'm grown up. I'm just as much a man as anyone else. No, the Bible says you're a man when your dad says you're a man, by the way. That's what the Bible teaches. It's up to the Father to declare when the Son is a man. But you're young when you're 15, 16. And you're to be learning. You're to be maturing. You're to be growing. And you're to be seeking after God. This verse tells me you're young. This verse also tells me young people can seek after God. You can seek after God. You can do right in the sight of the Lord. You know, you can do wrong also. You can make choices. And you'll be responsible for the choices. What you seek after, you're responsible. Who you seek after, you're responsible about that decision. If you follow his life, he went on to purge Judah and Jerusalem from the wickedness that they were involved in. And that was no easy task. This was a monumental task. This involved days and weeks of planning and then much time to carry this out and leading a host of men to see this done, the idols torn down, the idolaters driven out, all of this overthrown and getting people back to the proper worship of God. You know when he was doing that, brother? 20 years old. 20 years old, influencing people to seek after God and to put away the wickedness. And then at the age of about 26, he led in the repairing of the temple of God. He said, the temple is a mess. It's full of idols and wickedness that my fathers have brought in here and set up. And it's dirty, it's disgusting. And as he was leading in the repairing of the temple, that's where that priest came out saying, I found the book. I found the Bible. I found the law of Moses. Where'd he find it? In the temple. He found it in the temple, but it had been lost. It's a sad thing when in the temple the Bible gets lost. You know, the temple in the New Testament is the local New Testament church of Jesus Christ. Ye are the temple of God, and every member is a living stone, a lively stone in the temple. May it never be that in the temple of Midcoast Baptist Church, the temple of God, the Bible gets lost. But if that ever happens, I hope somebody finds it. And I hope some preacher with backbone gets up and says, we found the Bible and we're going to get back on the Bible way. And that's what they did. They found the book in the house of God. And when the priest said that, at the age of 26, Josiah, who's been trying to seek after God and do God's will and tear down the idols and clean up the kingdom, he says, read the Bible to me. And when they read the law of Moses, he tore his clothes. He humbled himself. He cried out, was broken before the Word of God. And then he caused the Word to be read to others in the kingdom, and he influenced other people to obey the Lord God. But when did it all begin? When he was about 15 or 16. While he was yet, what? Young. Josiah was a man that listened to the Word of God as it was read to him. And then he was lowly before the Word of God, and he learned from others from the Word of God, and he was led by others to obey the Word of God. He had the Scripture read to him, and he worked in the removal of wickedness in his sphere of influence, and he restored proper worship. In 2 Kings 22 and 2 Chronicles 34, it is stated, his heart was tender. Would you say that out loud with me? His heart was tender. His heart was tender. A young person that seeks after God will have a tender heart. The Bible can tenderize your heart. It's like a hammer that breaks even rocks in pieces. A young person that seeks after God will have a tender heart, and they will seek to please God. And God, because they're pleasing God and have a tender heart, He can then use them to influence other people away from wickedness to the service of the Lord. You 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, all you children in here, 15, 16, 17, 18, early 20s, you can be used of God. You can be used of God. God will use you to glorify Him. And He'll even allow you in some capacity with some people to influence them to serve God. But you've got to seek after Him. What does He require? He requires that you believe that He is and that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Diligently seek Him. That is not, well, I go to church. I'll tell you, I've heard more than I could probably count the number of parents who said to me, I don't know what went wrong. We took them to church every week. Friends, we took them to church every week. It's going to take a whole lot more than taking them to church every week. I heard a man this last week on the radio station out of Portland. And he was talking about public school teachers. And he said, guys, I mean, think about it. He said, these people influence our children more than we do. He said, all through the school months, it's about 9 months out of the year, he said, they have more time with our children than we have, you know. So, and I thought, do you hear what you're saying? You should be concerned about that. You should be concerned about that. They're not going to influence them to seek after the Lord. And if you think that, is someone on the TV going to influence us to seek after the Lord? No. Now, is this rock and roll and rap music and country and western music and pop music and all the hip-hop and all this other stuff, is that going to influence you to seek after the Lord? No. No, and you have all this worldliness and all this junk and all this pro-fornication and pro-sodomite business and pro-abortion and liberal stuff and loose living and all of that and these wicked type of books, all this loose living and everything, you have that coming in the TV and the books and the music and all that, and you have that going on hour after hour, week after week, and you think that three services a week of me preaching is somehow going to take care of all that, somehow cancel all that out? It's not going to happen that way. It's not going to work that way. This is much more than just, well, you know, I went to church three times a week. No, this is diligently seek Him. He that cometh to God must believe that He is and that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Well, I read 5 minutes of the Bible every day. That's not diligently seeking. Well, I have a little list and I have a little prayer. Now I lay me down to sleep. That's not diligently seeking God. Oh, I'm glad if a little child's 2, 3, 4 years old and you're starting them off praying, that's a little starter prayer. That's great. My goodness, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, you ought to be way beyond that. You ought to be way beyond that. You've got to personally be talking to God, personally in the Bible, personally paying attention in church, learning, asking questions, finding out the truth, diligently seeking God. You know, God's looking for people that are looking for Him. And He's willing to work with people that will have a humility before Him and His Word, and will have a tender heart. While He was yet young. I was thinking about in the Bible, about the people while they were yet young, how God used them. While they were yet young, I thought about a young man named Joseph, just a kid. from the language and everything that it points to, it looks like just a teenager thrown into a pit by his brothers, sold to be a slave in Egypt, given massive responsibility, tempted in a point where he would be naturally very weak, but considered God, considered right, falsely accused, put in prison for years. God blessed him there as he honored God. Then God prepared him through the pit and through Potiphar's house and through the prison. God prepared him for the palace. I am convinced that was the most dangerous place Joseph ever was. That pit was not nearly as dangerous as that palace. Potiphar's house and the prison was not nearly as dangerous. In the palace, he could do anything he wanted to do. He had authority. He had power. He could have indulged in any sin, but he chose to refuse all of that and to do the will of God. And he gave God all the glory. He said, you meant it for evil. God meant it for good. And he, by faith, he said, take my bones out of Egypt when you go up. He believed what God had promised Abraham. And by faith, he said, I know you'll go someday. I believe the word of God. When I go, you carry my bones. But when did it start? While he was yet young. And I thought about these young people in the Bible. I thought about a young lady named Miriam who was used of God to preserve the first man in human history that God called the man of God. What was the great way she was used? Just obeyed her parents. Just obeyed her parents. And then when opportunity arose, spoke to the princess, right? And then later, as she gets older, she's singing a song to God. It's recorded in Scripture. And yes, we know she failed, but she got right. She got right after she crossed Moses that time. God dealt with her, but she got right about that and was a great woman of God, but started off while she was yet young and she served God. I thought about a young man named Phinehas, who we heard preached about a few years ago. When Balaam introduced those wicked women into the camp of Israel and those Israelite men just fell for them, just dropping like flies, and the Bible says the elders were there and Moses, and it's like they were all in shock seeing what's going on, this rampant, outright, immoral activity just all around the camp. And Phinehas grabbed a spear, and he wasn't even 20 years old. And he went right into that man's tent and put that spear through that man and that woman. And God stopped that plague. What about that? He wasn't even 20 yet. He saw sin in his congregation, and he said, not in my congregation. This is the people of God. He wasn't one of these people that had an unholy code of dishonor. Well, I know there's sin going on in the camp, but you know, it wouldn't be cool to tell on it. That's a code of dishonor is what it is. And to the church at Corinth, Paul said, it's reported to me what's going on there. And he didn't say, there's a tale-bearing tattletale. No, some things need to be reported. Amen. Because God wants a holy, pure church. And Phinehas, while he was yet young, took a stand against sin. Even in the camp of God, the congregation of God, what God calls His church in the Old Testament, His congregation. And I thought about a young boy named Samuel, and we all know, I think, about Samuel ministering in the middle of a mess. What a mess. The men serving at the temple, I mean the leaders of Israel, the spiritual leaders of Israel, immorality right there at the church house, so to speak, and abuse of the finances of the church, the offerings coming in. And Eli knew about his sons. He didn't do anything to restrain them. And God alerted Samuel to all of this. The Bible says that Samuel ministered before the Lord. He was a child, the Bible says there. Is a mess in his country, a mess in the congregation of God, but he served the Lord. And then when God revealed his will, that young man gave the message God gave him to give. Eli said, tell me the message. Samuel didn't want to tell it. Eli said, tell me. And he looked at that older preacher and he gave him the message from the Word of God while he was yet young. That's powerful, isn't it? I thought about a youth named David, just a young man, ruddy, just a youth. Just obeying his dad. The only reason he was up there at the battle is because his dad said to carry some cheese and bread and things up to his brothers. He's just obeying his dad. He's not trying to be a show-off. He's not trying to go up there and pump himself up, look like some big deal. He's just obeying his dad. But when the opportunity presented itself for God to be glorified, he stepped forward while he was yet a child, while he was yet a youth, while he was yet young. And he took on Goliath in the power of God, and there was a great victory. And I thought about the little girl that was a slave, stolen away from her family. Well, if anything has ever been unfair anywhere, that was unfair. If anybody ever had a, quote, right to be bitter, she had a right to be bitter. Assyrians came into her country, Israel, stole her away from her parents. I don't know how people deal with some things they go through. If it wasn't for the grace of God, how could you deal with it? How could you be a little girl stolen from your family and have a good attitude and be concerned for the very man that led the army that came and stole you away from your family and your land, your country, your preacher? But Naaman, her master, he was a great man, a great captain in the army of Syria, but he was a leper. And that little girl one day said, I wish you could go see my preacher. If you just see my preacher, he could help you. I wish young people here would get that attitude. I wish you'd do that. I wish you'd say to some people, I wish you'd come hear my preacher preach. I wish you'd just come over to my house and let my daddy talk to you. You might be thinking, I'm too young. I don't know quite what to say to someone. And he's an older man and she's an older lady. I don't even know what to say. You could say, you got to come hear my preacher. You got to come talk to my dad. You got to come hear some of the people at our church and hear the truth. And that man listened to that little girl while she was yet young. She was pushing people to a man of God who could help them. And Naaman, of course, was cleansed of his leprosy while that young girl was used of God. And then, of course, as the writer of Hebrews would say, time would fail me. Time would fail me to tell of Daniel while he was yet young. He was only about 16 years old when he refused the king's meat. I can't eat that. His parents are nowhere around. If they're not dead, they're more than 500 miles away in Jerusalem. And he's a long way from the temple, from the kingdom. Who's going to know? Hey, it's just some food. I mean, what's the big deal? No, not with Daniel. It would go against God's word, God's will for his life as a Jewish man. Daniel, while he was yet young, serving God. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, standing with Daniel. Standing with. And the Bible says the other Hebrew kids there just went ahead and ate. That's right. And that's typical in churches all over this country. It's typical. The youth group, a bunch of them will just go ahead and live like the world, talk like the world, walk like the world, dress like the world, be like the world. They're, you know why? Because they are what they are. They are what they are. And that's why when they turn 18, 19, 20, they fly out and you never see them again. Why are we losing the kids? If they're saved, you won't lose them. His seed remaineth in him. Absolutely. The preservation, you want to call it preservation of the saints, perseverance of the saints, eternal security. I don't care how you put it. People that get saved, God keeps them. And if they start to stray at times, he has ways of getting them back. He does. He has ways of getting a hold of them and getting them back. But these ones that are just worldly and they'll just, you know, they get away from Jerusalem and they get over to Babylon and man, they dive in. Not Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. While they're yet young, they're taking a stand. And they eventually got to preach to the king. And you check it out in the Bible. Nebuchadnezzar, he became a man, a saved man. I used to wonder about that. I stopped wondering a few years ago as I studied through Daniel and preached through Daniel. And I've run into preachers since then. I've asked a lot of preachers, do you think I'm crazy thinking Nebuchadnezzar is a man that's now with the Lord? And you know, to a man, the men I've asked have all said, absolutely. He got converted. Now, he didn't in Daniel chapter 2. It's almost like he made a couple professions first. But there when he lost his mind and he was out in that field 7 years and then he looked towards heaven, he got the truth finally and he made a confession of faith finally. And his wife, years later when Belshazzar threw that big party, his wife wasn't at that party. Did you ever catch that? She wasn't there. Daniel wasn't there either. They wouldn't be involved in any such mess. And when they asked her in, and got her advice, she said, there's a man in your kingdom who told your grandpa the truth. And he could tell you the truth too if you'd pay attention. I love that. I just love that whole account. Daniel's an old man there. He's an old man. He comes in and And Belshazzar says, if you can tell me, I'll give you all this, and I'll make you, you know, this part of the kingdom, and I'll get gold and silver. And Daniel ignores every bit of it. Basically, you can keep all of it. Daniel wasn't one to suffer fools gladly. He gave that message, Belshazzar, no impetus to repent or anything like that. And Daniel just left. And Belshazzar and all that crew died and went to hell that night. But Daniel shines like the brightness of the stars forever. But it started while he was yet young. While he was yet young, Mary was just young when God chose to use her to bring his son into this world. She was just young. While she was yet young, she just said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord. Whatever your will is, God, I'm just your servant. Go ahead, it's fine. And how about the little lad who gave up his lunch while he was yet young? Here's my basket, take it. And all these people, they just were content and happy when they knew God's will, just do God's will. Like Josiah, seeking after God while he was yet young. What are you seeking tonight while you're yet young? You seeking fun? You know, in our society, that is typically, that's oftentimes replacing goodbye. Hey, have fun. See you later. You notice that? Does anybody else notice this? I hear it all the time. Hey, have fun. Have fun. See you around. Have fun. Well, I like good, wholesome fun as much as the next person, but that's really not the goal in life. It's not the goal in life. Paul said goodbye to people. Grace and peace. God bless you. Godspeed. May God be glorified. Have fun. And that's really, that is one of the gods of our culture. Fun. Are you seeking God or are you seeking fun? Are you seeking freedom? I just can't wait until I'm free. And I've got to do whatever I can to prove that I'm mature enough and save money and everything so I can be free and do whatever I want to do. You'll find out there's no freedom in that, really. You're seeking friends. I love friends. You get a good friend in the will of God, that's wonderful. I love my friends. I heard a preacher preach years ago, though. He said, you know, he said, young people, you really can make it without a bunch of friends. If you have a good church of the Lord Jesus Christ, you're taken care of. Hey, if you get to have saved parents, praise the Lord, saved siblings, wonderful. If you get friends, if you get a bunch of friends that are right and lead you in the right direction, influence you right now, that's great. That's icing on the cake. But you can stand alone with God and His people against the whole world if you need to. And even if you ended up somewhere and like Daniel and some of these people you see in Scripture where there's not even any other believers they can be with, scattered by persecution or something, even if it's just you and God make a majority anywhere on earth. Seek after God, not friends. You don't try to get friends at the cost of losing fellowship with the Lord. You seek after fashion. Just want to be fashionable. Just want to fit in. Want to be cool. Or do you seek after God? Do you seek after flesh, what the flesh wants? The desires of the flesh, the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life? Or do you seek after God? Do you seek after games and good times and greatness? Or do you seek after God? Do you seek after pleasure, popularity, promotion? I want to be somebody. I want to be somebody. Or do you seek after God? Do you want to use God so you can try to get promoted? Using God like He's some type of genie? That's wicked. That's a wicked tendency. We have to battle that in our own souls because sometimes we'll have to admit, we'll start, well, I'll do this because I know this pleases God. Maybe if I do that, maybe He'll do this. Now, how about we serve God and love God if we get nothing for it in this whole lifetime? He's worthy of us serving Him. How about we just love Him and serve Him because He's God? That's all we need. Are you seeking after promotion? Are you seeking after money? Are you seeking after some machine? If I just get this machine, then I'll be happy. Just got to seek after this machine, this phone, this computer, this tablet, this motorcycle, bicycle, sled. Got to have this machine. Got to have this certain car, this certain truck. I got to have it. Are you seeking after some type of might in this world, some type of influence and power, maybe physical might? Are you seeking after these things, or are you seeking after God? You know, if you seek after God, He'll let you have the might that you need. And the promotion cometh neither from the east or the west or from the south. It comes from God. If you seek after God, He can give you, He can let you be popular with the right crowd. He can let you fit in the right place with His people. You seek after God, He'll give you the money you need. He'll, at His right hand are pleasures forevermore. He'll take care of that. If you seek after God, He'll, believe me, you'll have good times, wonderful times, blessed times. If you seek after God, you'll be in fashion where it matters. Not fashioning ourselves according to this world, but fashioning ourselves, our conversation, our citizenship in heaven. If you seek after God, you'll have the friends you need to have. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother, and His name is Jesus Christ. Amen. What are you seeking after? How about God? Seek after God. When? While you're yet young. Let me challenge the older folks here for a minute. What are you influencing young people to seek? Be honest. What are we influencing young people to seek? What do we really show gets us excited? What do we really get wound up about? What do we really get enthusiastic about? What's the consistent practice in the speech of our life, the pattern of our life, revealing what we promote is really where it's at? Is it God? Is it the things of God? Honestly, what are we promoting? Are you purposefully promoting to the young people that you influence, children, nephews, grandchildren, nieces, maybe young people in this church, are you truly promoting to them seeking after God? Is that what they see from you? Let me ask you another question. What do you expect of the young people in this church? What's the expectation we have? Do we have lower expectations than God does? You know what I expect of the young people in this church? That you seek after God. And that's what every other grown person in this room ought to expect, that they seek after God. I said this morning, the Boy Scouts can make good kids. We're not looking for good kids. We're looking to see God by His grace producing godly young people and godly older people and middle-aged people, elderly people. That's what God's looking for. People that seek after Him. God forbid we set the standard where the world sets it, or that we set the standard a little bit higher than the world. The world is not the standard. And being a little bit better than the world is not the standard. Someone said years ago, what we typically do in churches like ours, we just make sure we're about 10 years behind the world, and then we feel like we're okay. But that's not the standard. See, the world's going this direction. They're going downhill at a great decline, right? And if we just are just a little behind them, we'll end up doing this with them. We ought to just be on track with God, and it ought to look like this. Here we are with the Lord and His Word, and as the world's doing that, there's going to be a greater and greater chasm there, right? Greater and greater distance. Oh, but we're nervous about that. We don't want to look weird or anything. So we kind of follow behind them. That is not a godly approach. The world's doing what they want. We stick with God and His standard, His Word, His holiness, seeking after God, and let the chips fall where they may. Let them say what they want to say. In the end, we'll fit in where it matters. And we want to get as many of them to get over on our side with us. Amen. And if we're right in there with them, how in the world are we going to get them over on the right side? I mean, what side are they going to get on? We're right there with them. Be not conformed to this world. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your minds. What do we expect of our young people in this church? This philosophy of, well, they're kids, you know. They're kids. Sure, they're going to, you know, they're going to goof off and sleep half the day, and they're going to have to be told 100 times a day, read your Bible and pray, and they're going to make a mess of everything. That's normal. They're kids, you know. That attitude's killing churches. It ought to be, hey, you're a child of God if they're saved. You're a servant of God. If they're not saved, it ought to be, hey, this is a Christian home. I love you. I'm going to lead you to the Lord eventually. And until then, preach the law to them. Show them how good God is. Brag on God constantly. Talk about being saved. Provoke in them, provoke them unto conviction and salvation, not unto wrath. Well, they're just kids. Sure, they're going to sleep half the day and they're going to be goof-offs and a mess and be idiotic and things. No. No, we're training soldiers for the Lord Jesus. We're training young citizens of heaven. We're training people to be raised up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. How about this one? Well, we don't want to put too much responsibility on them. You know, they don't need a lot of pressure. Yes, they do. Nobody ever amounted to anything without some pressure. Nobody ever got strong in any way without some pressure. You'll never find anything that's strong that hasn't had to endure some pressure. Well, they've got to be like all the other boys and girls, you know. They've got to have lots of fun and games. My kids have fun and games. Don't worry about that. But that's secondary. It doesn't matter. And that's what they hear. Yeah, let's do this for a while. That's nice. We've gotten our responsibilities done. We've been serving God and all, and it's okay to have some fun and all. This is a game. We can do that. It's just a game, though. If we never got to play this game, we'd be okay. I'm glad we get to, but we'd be okay if we never got to. Amen. But it's nice. We'll do it. We'll have fun with it. Oh, they've got to have all kinds of fun and games. And this one, well, they got to dress like kids, you know. They're just kids. They got to dress like kids. So let little girls be immodest up until they're 20. Guess what they'll be when they're 21? Immodest. Well, they're just young, though, you know. No, they ought to be learning from the older women. And by the way, older women, that puts some pressure on you, amen? Show them, and it's not just dress. This whole thing about modesty being just dress, that's messed up. It's not just dress. It's a modest heart, a modest spirit. It's proper. It's adorning right. It's speaking properly, behaving in every way, that presentation. Being that holy woman like Sarah and others that God brags on in Scripture. But that attitude of, well, they got to dress like kids, you know, so it's just how it's going to be. No, the Bible's the standard. Well, they got to think like kids. The Bible teaches you how to grow up in your thinking. We got to promote that. And they're going to talk like kids. Let's teach them how to talk right. Amen? Let's teach them how to shake hands right. Look someone in the eye and say, yes, sir, and say thank you, and you're welcome, and all of that. That mentality of, well, they're just kids, and all, and they're just going to be a bunch of, you know, goof-offs and everything until they're in their 20s, that's killing churches. It's killing us. It's robbing the Lord's church and His kingdom of many who would be dedicated servants of the Lord, if we set the standard where God says it. And I'm not talking about constantly discouraging, you're never good enough, and making them feel like they're never quite there, but saying, hey, I'm glad to see you doing this. Let's do a little better. Let's try a little, let's get this right, all right? Hey, praise God that you did this and this and this. That's very good. A plus. Let's correct this thing. Right? Let's keep going forward. Let's keep going upward. Let's keep getting more and more to be in the way of the Lord Jesus. You know, God expects every member of this church to seek after God, not in a few years, not first thing tomorrow, right now, every moment, every day. We bought into this modern Western American mindset, and it's not biblical. We should delay growing up until the last possible moment. Is our country better since we bought that philosophy back along about 1950, 1960? Are we doing better since then? No. When Experience Mitchell came over to these shores on the second boat, not the Mayflower, but the next one, when he got here, he was 14 years old. He was all by himself. He was allotted, I think, one cow and a few acres. And guess what he did in the New World? He got to working. He got to struggling. Yeah. He put down some roots, squared up his shoulders, suffered, toiled, 14 years old. That's how it used to be. Where did we get this idea that 14-year-olds shouldn't work, shouldn't be responsible for anything, what to be folding their clothes and making their beds and keeping their room neat and brushing their teeth for them and everything else? Where did we get this idea? It's time to get with it. This idea of don't make them work, don't let them do anything, you know, they just need to have fun while they're young and all. Just stay a kid as long as you can. No, that's hurting us. It's hurting our country. It's hurting our churches. Let's get with it. Let's get with it. I like what one man said, if they're old enough to toddle, they're old enough to tow. They're walking around a little bit, they can help carry something out to the car when church is over. They can get up in the morning, they can do, let them try to make that bed. They won't make it as good as we will, but let them struggle a little bit with it. Let them struggle a little bit. I don't mind helping my kids. I help my kids when they're struggling, I help them. If they just go, Daddy, would you do this? I say, well, you do it. And if they're sincerely putting an effort, I'll reach down there and help them. And see, I think that's reflecting God. See, God will say, do this, and by faith, He expects us to get at it, and then He'll help us. I mean, Moses, hold the rod up there, and then later, put your foot in there, you know, and go out and do this, and go out and face the enemy. God says, you go out and face the enemy, and I'll show up whenever I need to. And they go out, and they start in there, and God shows up and kills all the enemy. But God wants them to work at it. He wants them to go through it. And this whole thing of, well, they shouldn't grow up, you know, until, no, that's wrong, it's not good. They need some pressure, they need some work, they need to be responsible, they need to have a part. All of you that have this down, good for you, God bless you, keep at it. Some of you that maybe don't, get serious about this type of thing. God's young people should not be a part of this mess of our culture. Even that whole teenage thing, that's an invention of this world that's less than 100 years old. It used to be, like the Bible says, children, young men, young women, older men, older women. That's what it used to be. But this whole designation of teenager and then generation gaps and all, just throw it all out the window. Throw it out the window. Let's raise servants of God. I'm just contending for strong young people that'll love God and serve God from their youth. That's all. Titus 2 is real clear. Older men, older women, provoke younger men, younger women to godliness. Away from the fallen culture, away from youthful lusts, towards a life of consistent holiness. Well, how do we seek after God? We saw that this morning, didn't we? Get in Scripture. Study the Scripture. Cry out to God in prayer. Get into the Bible. The Bible is the mind of God revealed to man. Memorize it, study it, meditate on it, hear it preached, receive it. Pray like they prayed in the Bible. Get rid of these trifling little goofy, silly prayers that are a bunch of fortune cookie type things and little printed out nonsense where you say five or six lines that all rhyme with each other, and get on your knees and say, God in heaven, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Talk to God. Talk to Him. What type of relationship would you have with your child if every day your child came to you and said something like, Dear Father, I thank You for all of Your blessings on me, and I pray now that Thou would just feed me some breakfast. I thank You for it. Amen. And every morning said the same exact thing like that. Would you feel like you had any real fellowship or relationship with your child? How many times does God have to hear us say the same exact thing over and over and over and over again? We got to learn to really talk to God, really pray, extol Him, rejoice in Him, thank Him, develop a real personal knowledge and fellowship and walk with God, and being careful to not grieve or quench His Spirit. And when confronted with sin, fight against it, hate it, and if failing, confess it, making no excuses whatsoever. Dealing with it, denying self and obeying the Lord, witnessing for Him, influencing others for Him. While he was yet young, he sought God. Will this be you? You might think, well, I'm not young and I haven't been seeking God. All right? Wherever you are right now, will you start? You could. You can. But would some of you young people say, while I'm yet young, I'll seek after God? You are building your character right now, Joe. You're building your character for your life right now. You are, Sam, Joey, you're building your character. You young ladies, all of you, you're building character right now. And you're making decisions in your youth that you'll live with for the rest of your life. Seek after God. You're turning your heart certain directions. And right now, you might feel like, well, it's just a... You know, here's what I get heard preached at me. Here's what my parents say. Here's what the Bible says. And I'm just a degree different here. You get one degree off, and then there's the line right there. You just go one degree off right here. It's not that far away. But you go 100 yards away, it's getting further away. Another 100 yards away, a mile away, 2 miles away. Pretty soon, you're a long ways off from the truth. This is the plumb line. You line right up with it. Don't deviate from it. You're making decisions you'll live with. You're developing habits, patterns of life, that you're either going to have good patterns and habits that you follow, or they're going to be awful ruts kind of that you'll slip back into very easily if you're not careful. Any of you know what I'm talking about? Any of you older folks? Where there's just certain reactions and thoughts and words and deeds where you practice them long enough, and it's so easy just to slip back into that because it's just been hollowed out. It's like a ditch, and the way the water will run so easy, it's just going to go that direction. You have to fight really hard not to keep sliding back into that. Good habits, good character, seeking after God now. Godly habits, godly character. Parents, we've got to lead them to seek after God. We've got to be serious about this. We've got to take the lead in this. We have to promote it. It didn't start with a great reformation with Josiah. It started when he was just 15 or 16. He started seeking after God. It didn't start with the temple getting cleaned out. All these people getting right with God. It started with seeking after God while he was yet young. You might say, my parents don't really take this seriously. Neither did his. But he sought after God. If you're a parent and you don't take it seriously, shame, shame, shame on you. If your child would have to say, my parents don't take it seriously, but I'll do it anyway. I say this with careful sincerity. Woe unto you if your child has to say that. Woe unto you. But you could seek after God anyway, young person. And if you're a parent that says, I'm not very serious about it, my child would have to admit that. I'm not. You could start tonight. You could start right now getting serious. Seek after God. It didn't start with, well done, thou good and faithful servant. It ended with that. But where did it start? While he was yet young. While he was yet young. Do you want it? You want to have that report, well done, good and faithful servant. Start now. Seeking after God while he was yet young. Give of your best to the master. Give of the strength of your youth.